I'll just say the obvious. Been a good week of preaching, and I just don't feel very sufficient to stand after these men of God have been here. But I got home today, I guess about 2:30 after the van and everything, and I just prayed. I said, Lord, you just give me what you want me to say. You know what? I ain't going to apologize if it's topical or if it's expository or anything else. I just want to be obedient to what God wants, and if I flop like a fish and fail, if He gets glory out of it, I'm happy with that. So, and I say that honestly, I don't care. So, I want Him to get glory out of my life. If you sat here and heard the preaching I've heard this week, and you don't want God to get glory out of your life, you had too much wax in your ears or something, because my soul, the Lord was good to us this week. I praise His name for it. But Ephesians chapter number 4, we're going to read a couple of verses. Really, I could read a lot more, but for the sake of time, just having mercy on you, I'm just going to read a couple. I've got six, bad news, I've got six pages here in just a few hours. I had nothing come to me for a few minutes, and the good news is it's on notebook paper and it's handwritten. So if you know what that means, there ain't as much of there as six pages could be. But Ephesians chapter number 4, I'm going to read you two verses, verse 7 and 8, kind of right out of the middle here, and we'll go on further in a minute. But it says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." We see the word gift, or the gift of Christ, in verse number 7. And in verse number 8 it says, "And gave gifts unto men." And we're going to talk about these gifts, if the Lord being our helper. Father, in Jesus' name I come before you. And Father, I pray that you're honored and glorified in everything I have to say, Lord. And you know that I've went through this once, really, Lord, and not went over it a whole lot. But Lord, I pray, you just do with me what you want here behind this pulpit tonight and get glory and honor out of this. Help those that need help and encourage those, whatever we need tonight. Help to use me, Lord, for your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I see gift of Christ in verse number 7, and I see that he gave gifts unto men in verse number 8. And I want to talk to you about these gifts here tonight, and really, what first of all, as far as by way of introduction, I want to talk about what these gifts are not. And we'll read in context what they are later. But first of all, I want to say, and I don't think I have to go into much of this in this crowd, but these gifts are not the spiritual gifts, as the charismatic crowd would say today. They're not the gifts as in talking about healing or talking about speaking in some unknown tongue or interpretation. These aren't the gifts at all. If you wanted to run over there to 1 Corinthians, we could. And at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the last verse says this. It says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts." And it says, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." And that's the last verse in chapter 12. In chapter 13, it starts out, and that's the chapter of charity. And you see, go all the way to the end of 1 Corinthians 13, and you got verse 13. And I don't know how we put rebellion in this, but it says, "And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." And I'm not talking about, I just want to get that out of the way real quick. We're not talking about any kind of those charismatic gifts that some of these churches are trying to say are still in effect, because they are. But another thing I want to say, as great as a gift as it is, we're not talking about the gift of salvation. We could turn in the book of Ephesians back one page in my Bible, in verse 8 of chapter 2, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." And may I just stop here for a few minutes and say, it's the greatest gift ever given. It's not close. There's not a close second. There's not a close anything. By far and away, the Lord Jesus Christ dying on Calvary for our sins is the greatest gift ever given. I can tell you that it's the gift that everybody needs. It's that no matter where you go in this world, you can tell them that I've got a gift that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they need that gift. We send missionaries across this world, and there's not one person they'll go to that doesn't need the gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you about this gift of salvation. It's the greatest sacrifice ever made to give somebody a gift. You know, I no doubt some of you parents or grandparents have wanted to give your child or grandchild a gift, and you say, "Boy, I love them, and I know they want this, and I won't be able to do this unless I sacrifice." And I don't know, you all can go through your own mind of what you may have sacrificed to give to somebody. It doesn't come close to the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ gave. He sacrificed Himself for us to give us salvation. I praise His name for the sacrifice and the gift of God that He gives us in salvation. And also I'll say this, it's a free gift. There's no charge to it. I mean, I know that's what a gift is, but a lot of people think that we have to earn this gift. And they live their lives continually trying to earn the favor of God. And they do works and they pray prayers and they give money. Friend, the Bible says right here that it is a gift. It is a gift of God in Ephesians chapter 2. The next verse says, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I'm not trying to be mean or critical to anybody else who believes anything else, but I don't understand how they take anything other than what I just said. I read it right out of the Bible. It says that salvation is a free gift. It's a gift of God. And the very next words say, not of works, lest any man should boast. This is a gift that you can only get from the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't get it from another person. You can't get it from another so-called God. You can't get it from a church. You can't get it any other way than accepting what Jesus Christ has done for you on Calvary. He died for you. He was buried. He rose again so you could be saved. But I'll say this. It's the least deserving recipients there ever were. When I think about the gift of salvation, I don't see anybody in here, as much as I love you, I don't see anybody in here worthy of that gift. It's not even close. You know, Pastor, I don't have a whole lot of people in this world I look up in. I know how much you look up some of these men. I know a lot of your faults. I don't have many people I look up to you. You just don't deserve Jesus to sacrifice his life on Calvary. We just don't deserve it. We are the absolute least deserving. I might say, go look for another world somewhere. Go find some other species. Go find something else. But yet He gave it to us. A bunch of undeserving sinners, worthy of only hell, He gave us this gift. Without this gift, every one of us would be in hell. I praise His name for this gift. But it's not talking about these gifts of the Spirit, we might say, or it's not talking about the gift of salvation here. When we see in Ephesians chapter number 4, we see a different kind of gift. But before we get to that, I want to look at, with these gifts, I'm going to look at the who, what, when, why, and where, and all that stuff. And number one, I'm going to say, who gave these gifts? These gifts that we're talking about, we see in the context, we see it's clear in verse number 7, it's the gift of Christ. It's the gift of God is what we're talking about. Now, if I just talk to you about the greatest gift ever given, that the Lord Jesus Christ gave you the greatest gift available that this world's ever seen or ever will see, and it's such an awesome gift, I say He wants to give you something else. What I mean, how are you going to top that, Lord? How are you going to top what you just did? I didn't say He's going to top it, but it ought to excite us if I just told you that the Lord Jesus, besides salvation, He wants to give you something else. Man, that ought to excite us. Not always are we excited when we get gifts, and some of these adults might not be honest, but some of these children, if you'd be honest, like Brady, let me ask you this. If you got a birthday party, and there's a bunch of gifts there, now, you see a gift that says the Williams family on it. You're like, it's maybe, I don't know, maybe a $20 gift card or maybe some Legos or something. But if you see a gift and it says, Mamma and Papa Sexton. Now, he's grinning a little bit now. See, some gifts are going to be better than others. We can get more excited about this is from the Lord God Almighty. He's already given us the greatest gift, and now He wants to give us something else. Well, it ought to excite us. And you know what? Sometimes when you get gifts, there are some people that know what you want. And there are some people that know what you need, but they may not be able to afford it or to supply it to you. And no matter, I mean, maybe Papa Sexton wants to get Brady some big four-wheeler or something. He said, well, let's go down here and get him. Well, that's $4,000. I can't do that. I just can't do that. But he'd like to get it for you. But seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, with Him being the gift giver, He knows what we need, He knows what we want, and He can supply it to us. So if we talk about these gifts here, we ought to be excited that we know who the gift is coming from. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And number two, we want to say not only who's giving the gifts, but who's the getter of the gifts, we might say. Who's the recipient of these gifts? Verse number 8, it says, in the end of it, it says, and gave gifts unto men. This verse, number 8, is actually quoted from Psalm 68, verse 18. I'm gonna read this now, because if I don't, I'll forget it. Looking back in Psalms, you keep your place, but it says, "Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men." Then it adds something that our text in Ephesians does not say. It says, "For who are these gifts? These gifts for men, yea." And then it says this, "For the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them." Not only in the gift of salvation, he gives that to everybody, to the rebellious or whatever, but here he's going to give more gifts. And it just blesses my soul that he's not looking to give a gift to somebody, again, that's deserving of it. He's given a gift, and he's willing to give it to somebody who's even rebellious toward him. My, that may not do much to you, but I was such a rebellious little punk. They talked about, some of these preachers talked about how they were and how they used to be, and my mind would just go back, and what a little punk I was. And I see these guys driving these little gnats, as Brother Leland would say, and talk about their music blaring, and I just say, what a little punk. That was me. That was me. Save for the grace of God, it'd still be me if I was even alive. But hey, God even cares about the rebellious. And I just want to read that. I just want an opportunity to praise him. Who's the rebellious? Who is the recipient? Who's the one going to be getting this? And in our context, we're going to see these men are the saints. We see that in verse number 12, for the perfecting of the saints. So we're talking about the church. Who is this gift, we'll really see here in Ephesians chapter 4. Who's getting these gifts? The church. The same people who gave salvation to, if you've accepted it, he's got another gift. Now, you didn't know. It's just like in salvation, you didn't know you was getting a whole lot more than others just to take it out of hell. Brother Sean, I didn't know. All I wanted, I wasn't raised in church. I didn't know much about it at all. All I wanted when not I got saved is I wanted to escape the fire of hell. That's it. I didn't know that salvation included all these other benefits. And here in our text, if you're saved, he's giving you another gift. It's like you get one gift, you might get one gift out from the tree, we'd say, and you say, oh my, you open it up, and right behind it, as good as it was, look, there's another one. And here he's given us, the children of God, he's given us another gift here in Ephesians chapter number 4. And it says it's to the saints, it's to the church. So here's he giving us another gift. It's first, is if it's the greatest gift ever given, and here's another one. But this shows us that he didn't just save us so we could be saved. It's going to show us that he saved us for a purpose. This second gift, it's not so we can be lost and get saved again. It's nothing like that. We're going to see later on, he saved us for a purpose. This church is. So if we know this about this gift is so great, and we know his first gift was so great a salvation, what is the gift? Boy, if you don't know what your Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, you might be disappointed. But I'm going to try to get this truth across to you in Ephesians chapter 4. This is a great gift also. This is the gift we see in verse number 11. It says, here's the gift. It says, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers. Boy, ain't nobody shouting on that. His second gift, it's really good. He gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Now, you may not understand that, but hey, that's a really good gift. My, you couldn't top salvation, but if you understand what these people do for you in your life, you couldn't get much better gift other than salvation from these gifts he's given here in verse number 11. What is the gift? Here's the good part. It ain't just one gift, it's many. We go 2, 3, 4, 5. It's several gifts. And the first thing I'm going to talk about here, the gift of the apostles and the prophets. And don't worry, I know we don't have them. And all of you that may not understand, we don't have any more apostles. If you ever turn on your radio or your TV and somebody starts out saying, I'm the apostle so-and-so, you just turn it right back off. Shut it right back down. Skip to the next channel. Whatever you got to do. There are no more apostles and there are no more prophets. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they do. We've got our truth, the final authority from the Word of God. So we see this here that the first two are going to be the apostles and the prophets. And if I just said we don't have any more, then how are they a gift to me? How can I take a gift from somebody that ain't there? How can it be a gift if it ain't there, Brother John? How can that be a gift to me? Well, if we understand our Bible, we can look in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. We find out these apostles and their prophets, it says, are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So how can these apostles and prophets be a gift to us if we don't have any more? It's what they've already done for us. See, when we talk about the Old Testament prophets, we're talking about these men of God that we read about in the Bible that wrote the Bible. I understand, and I hope you understand, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But he used men, these prophets of old, and these apostles for the New Testament to pin down these Scriptures. So really, when I say to you that what is this gift, the first part of it, it's the apostles and the prophets. What they brought to you, my friend, was the Word of God. Everything we know and all the truth we have, we get it right here out of our old King James Bibles. You know what? Where we got this from? We got it from the prophets and we got it from the apostles. We don't need them anymore in the sense that we've got it right here. We've got the completed, perfect Word of God right here in our hand. How are these a gift to us? Hey, if you don't understand the Word of God is a gift, you don't understand much at all. The Word of God here is the gift that keeps on giving. And we can also see about these apostles and prophets. They gave us the Word of God. And what a gift it is in itself, really, if you don't understand this gift of the Word of God. It's a perfect gift. I'll say these real quick and be done with this. It's a perfect gift. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, most of you can quote this, says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And you all know this, but I like saying it. I just ask you this, is God perfect? Would anybody argue that God is perfect? You'd say no. Is God perfect? Somebody say yes. Yes. Would that mean His breath is perfect? Yes. So if He breathed this out, that's what inspired means. If He breathed out these words, are they perfect? Yes. All right. I'm not tricking you. Not at all. So we see this Word of God is perfect. We know that the Word of God is pure. We can read in Proverbs 30, verse 5, it says, every word of God is pure. And He's a shield unto them, put their trust in Him. How do you improve upon that? I don't know, but Psalm 119, 140 says, thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. I'm just showing you, it's a perfect gift, it's pure. But you know what? None of that would matter if it wasn't preserved. These apostles and these prophets, they're all dead and gone. But what they wrote under inspiration of God, it's preserved for us today. We see that in Psalm 12, 6 and 7. We know that it's preserved. We can go there. So how else do they help us? Then Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 42, it talks about the early church. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. They just didn't pin down stuff. They preached and they taught what the Word of God meant. You know what we had today? We don't have our doctrine because of what the Baptist convention might teach or preach. We have our doctrine because we're following the example laid in the Word of God by the apostles and by the prophets. You know, and here we see about these other things I want to say about these apostles and prophets. They gave us godly examples to follow. You know what? How are they a gift to us if we don't have them? We can look in the Word of God and we can, you name your Old Testament prophet or you name your apostle in the New Testament. And what I'll show you is an example of a man of God who walked out by faith, who stood for God, who stood against error, and just lived for God. And I'll show you how he walked for God and made a difference for the glory of God. Hey, how can they help us if they're not here? We see an example to follow. I appreciate that. I say amen for it. So what else is the gift? We see in Ephesians chapter number 4, the gift. It says it's apostles and some prophets. Then it says it's some evangelists. Now, some people want to get into this, whether it's a missionary and the in the New Testament, there's really not the word missionary, I guess we say. So some people say the evangelist was a missionary. Or whether we want to say it's a modern-day definition, like what Brother Lockhart is, going around traveling and preaching to the local church. I don't care what you want to say. I'll say it like this. The missionaries are a gift to the local church. And I praise the name for it. Hey, how is that? I mean, look back there. You know what you think about the Great Commission? And we're supposed to go into all the world, and we're supposed to preach the gospel to every creature. We're supposed to teach all nations. How in the world are we going to do that? I mean, just say this. We need help. We need somebody to give to us some help because we cannot do it on ourselves. If you look back there on that wall and on these two sides, what we have back there is gifts from God to the church to help us do what we're supposed to be. We can't be obedient to God unless we had them. We can't do it. It's just not possible. So I don't care if you want to say it's a missionary or you want to say it's an evangelist like Brother Locker. Either way, I want to say they are gifts to the church. They are gifts from God to the church. And I praise God for it. Now, if you sit here in this meeting, you know what? I say at the end of this meeting, this is one of the best meetings we ever had. But you get me into the end of January, what I'll say about that, right after missions conference is over, man, that meeting back in September was good. This missions meeting was even better. Man, it's just, they're gifts from God to the church. You know what? If you sat here and you heard the preaching, and you don't think Brother Raines and Brother Locker, and I know some of these other men were pastors, if you don't think they were a gift from God to our church, you aren't thinking right. You sit back there most of the time, and I just let these men of God just feed me and step on me and crush me and build me back up and crush me again and build me back up. That's a gift from God. Who am I that God would speak to my soul over here, way out here in the middle of nowhere? It's a gift from God. He used these gifts of these men of God to come in here to this church and help us. I praise His name for it. You know what? You say, I don't know how a missionary could be a gift. I bet you those people sitting in Brother McKeon's church right now out there in New Mexico, I bet they're glad they got a pastor. No, it wasn't too long ago they didn't have a church to go to. Think about that right there. They didn't have a place to go to on Sunday night service. They didn't have a pastor. They didn't have a Sunday school teacher. Now, we might not realize that these men of God are gifts to us. I praise the Lord for it. You think about Brother Raines, Brother Lockett, think about just about Brother Biddle, just a few of them here. What a blessing they are. You know what a blessing is for our pastor? He preaches and studies and gets weary in the work as he does. He can call up some of these men of God. He says, you know what, I'm just struggling, Brother Locke. Could you come up here and preach to me? And brother just comes up here and just gives us right what we need. That's a gift from God to us. We ought to praise the Lord that we got people that will come up here and encourage us. If you don't need no encouraging, just pass it on back to me or over to somebody else. I praise the Lord for the help that these evangelists, we'll just say it that way, whether you want to say modern day evangelists or whether you want to say missionaries, praise God for both kinds. Amen. So I say this, we'd never have the Word of God without the apostles and prophets. We never heard of the Word of God unless we had missionaries. And we'd never get preached to the help we get from these evangelists unless we had this gift from God. So continuing on, that ain't all. And what else is, or you might say, as if we needed something else, the next thing it says, God also gives us pastors. Now really, those of you who understand, those of you who have any kind of clue what's going on, we ought to just shout the house down right there. What you are is old, wretched, filthy dirt. The only thing good about you is what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you and in you. That's it. You've got a new nature. But you still got the old nature. And you know what God has done? He's placed pastors. You know what a pastor is? Let me just read. One of the definitions it says it means to feed. And the next, obviously that's spiritual. The next definition, it just means a shepherd. One that has the care of the flock. And another word is overseer. And I'll read this verse to you. It really defines what a pastor is, Acts chapter number 20, verse 28. Most of you can probably quote it. But it says this, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, listen to this, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Something so precious as the church of God that God would give his own son for, then he calls a man to come in there and watch over those group of people. He's called our pastor to watch over the church at Ridgeview Baptist. That's a gift. Every one of you that's a member of Ridgeview Baptist Church, you've got a wonderful gift from God in having not only just a pastor, so many churches have pastors. I promise you've got a pastor that cares about you. He's concerned for your soul. You say, you know what? I don't need a pastor. I don't need anybody watching out for me. You take it up with God, because God says you do. God says your old rotten flesh and your flesh is capable of slipping away, sliding back, and making a mess of your life. And God has put a man over you to watch out for you and to help you. And when he sees you falling, maybe to scoot you back over or to lift you up. Or when he sees you messing up, just to preach it right straight to you. Praise God that God gives us a gift of a pastor. I praise God for my pastor. I say that. I don't have a bit of problem with that. Praise God for my pastor here at this church. Man, there might be some good men of God coming through here and good pastors. They might have fancier ways of preaching and funnier stories. But I'd be hard-pressed to say any of them are better pastors than my pastor. I'm proud to call Wayne Sexton my pastor. And I feel awkward you're right there. But if you'd go out, I'd preach some more on pastor, I guess. But listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter number 13. You can do with this what you want, but it's talking about the pastor in Hebrews 13. Listen to what it says in verse number 7. Remember them which have the rule over you. And I'm not even talking about pastoral authority, but it's right here in Hebrews chapter 13. There's not a thing you can say other than I'm going to submit myself to the pastor God set over me, or I'm going to be in rebellion to the Word of God. I don't know whether way you want to take that. It's very clear right here in Hebrews chapter 13. But listen, I'm not even talking about that. It says in verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you. And it says, who have spoken unto you the Word of God. What does a pastor do? He takes the Word of God that the prophets and these apostles have gotten from God, and it's been preserved for us, and he preaches to us the Word of God. He feeds our soul with the Word of God. You know what else it says at the end of verse 7? It says, whose faith follow. Follow. You know what the pastor is? He's somebody that you can look at their life. And you're going to say, you're not going to find one perfect pastor. We all understand that he's someone, the pastor of the local church, is someone you should be able to look at their life and you should say, you know what? That's the life that I want to live, and I'm just going to follow that kind of life. I'm going to follow his life, but it says I'm going to follow their faith. They're living for God, we might say. They're standing for the truth. Wow, that's a gift of God that he's given us, somebody, not only that'll preach to us and watch out for us, but somebody that we can look at and we can follow. We also see that in Hebrews chapter number 13, verse 17. Again, it says the word obey. Get mad with God if you want. It says obey them. Obey your pastor. Obey them that have the rule over you. Here it says again, and submit yourselves. It says, for they watch for your souls. I don't need anybody to watch for my soul. God says you do. You may be the most spiritual big shot and this world's ever seen. If you're not a pastor, God says you need a pastor. And even pastors, I know you all look to other people for help. But God says you need somebody to watch for your soul. Why? I mean, because we're prone to wander. Our hearts wants to wander. It wants to sin. It wants to rebel. It wants to do the wrong thing so often. And God's placed this thing, this man in our life, a pastor, to watch out for us. We don't realize that's a gift, I don't think. That's a gift. I praise God for the pastor. Say, we see this, and really I would say least of all, but it's not least of all. Moving on to the next one in Ephesians chapter number 4, it says pastors, and it says and teachers. And you know what? I'd say most people, if they preach through this verse or teach through this verse, teachers, it says, there's your Sunday school teachers, go on. Let me say this. Teachers is a gift from God to the local church. Teachers are a gift from God to the local church. And we see that we might say it's last here, but it's certainly not least. See, all this, we're all a member of the body of Christ. And without one member, you all understand that you might be able to function, but you won't be able to function as well as God's intended for us to function. And God's given us teachers at this church. It's given to us as a gift for us. Man, how's that? How that gift? Man, it's just like everything else. They're a gift from God to us. It's not least, it's just as important. You know what? If our pastor was here and didn't have one good teacher here, every service would be right here. Sunday school would be right here. He'd be trying to talk to 3-year-olds and be trying to talk to 30-year-olds. Man, you just need help. It's a body, and it needs many members, as it says, to do this. So I just want to say thank God for pastors. I want to say thank God for teachers. It's not something that's highly thought of. It's not somebody they find out, you're a teacher at Ridgeview Baptist? Wow. Why, my goodness. That's, man, anything I can do for you? You're not going to get that kind of thing. It's not important to the world. Really, in most part, pastors aren't important to the world. But pastors will get more esteem than a teacher will. But here, teachers, they're not important to the world. It's not a highly thought of position to the world. I'll say this, it is to me. It is to my children. I can have all my kids stand up. You know what? It's important to my children. You know, my children pretty much have been raised in this church. There's a picture in our hallway down here at this fence, and it's Grace, and she's probably about this high, and has got her hair in these little braids pulled back, parted in the middle. She hates that kind of hairstyle now. She's just a little girl. Now she's all grown up. Only my kids are grown. They've been raised pretty much in this church. You know who's helped me raise them? The people and the teachers of this church. They've helped me. If I were to ever have to leave this church, it wouldn't be easy. It'd be hard. You know what I'm talking about. It'd be hard. There's good people here that love my family, love my children, and teach my children the Word of God. You know what? That's a gift from God to this church. And I praise His name for the gift of teachers. You know what I say? It's not highly thought of to the world, but I say it's highly thought of to me. You know what? Who cares what I think? You know who else is highly thought of? The Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He thinks the teachers in the local New Testament church right here at Ridgeview are a big deal. He thinks it's big. Miss King, you got the youngest class in here. You know what? It's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's an important thing. I highly esteem the teachers that God has given us. Praise His name for the teacher. It's a gift from God to us. I just want to tell you, praise His name for it. You know my children love their Sunday school teachers. I say that already. I'll say it again. Do you know my children look up to their Sunday school teachers? Hey, by the way, you just mark it down. They know what you're doing. They see how you look. They see if you're smiling. They know if you're happy or not. Man, they love spending time with their Sunday school teachers. Hey, it's important. It's not, I just want to say, it's last, but it's not least. It's last, but it's not least. Every teacher here, you are a gift from God to the local church. Now I say this, and teachers, you understand this, that you're a gift from God. Now I ask you this. If there were apostles and prophets and evangelists, I'll say evangelists, I'll say pastors, and I'll say teachers. You're a gift from God to this church. How good a gift are you? I know you can be a wonderful gift. I'm not saying that any disrespectful at all. I just want to challenge you. How good a gift are you? I want you to give your all as a gift from God. Think about what an honor it is. If you think about it, you are a gift from God to a local church. Man, we ought to strive to be the best we can be. Yeah. Amen. I'll tell you this. Brother Chad, when he started, I've heard him say this 100 times, so I know it don't embarrass you. Brother Chad, when he started teaching, I know he used to get a list. Was it 10 questions you could ask? Is that what it was? When he'd get nervous, when he'd get backed up, he'd get nervous, and he had a question he could just ask, and it would put the pressure on other people. That's a very wise. I know you're not laughing at me. That's a very wise thing, advice given to him. You know what? What I learned to do is say, I don't know what you think. Right back at him. But you know what? Chad may not, when he started out, he might not have been the very best teacher this world's ever seen. But you know what he did? He kept on. He exercised the gift that God's given him. Gift both ways. I don't know if you understand that or not. He exercised the gift that God's given you, Brother Chad. You know what I tell my pastor coming home from prison? Brother Chad got up, he had a notebook. He's teaching on the book of Nehemiah. I told my pastor, I may have told Chad, though, I'm going to bring my pen and pad next week because I'm taking notes. Hey, amen? I don't care if it's a prison or not. I'm taking notes. I know we're going to get the word of God through the book of Nehemiah taught. I mean, it's going to be taught right. It's going to be taught. It's just going to be taught right. I'm excited about it. I don't care if I'm sitting with a bunch of prisoners. I'm excited to get the word of God taught to me by a good man of God, teacher, and Brother Chad Brewster. And I know he's a preacher too. But hey, you know what? I even told the pastor as Chad left. Told him, I said, I think he's one of the best teachers I know. I don't know exactly what I said. This is what I said to some degree. I think I'd rather hear him teach about anybody else that I know. And you know what? You all know, you've heard him teach. You know he's a good teacher. He didn't start out being as quiet as he was, but he gave God effort. And God took his effort. And now he's one of the best teachers I know. I don't care. Teachers, preachers, wherever you want to put it, I don't really care. But you all know what I'm saying. It didn't start out that way. That's what I'm saying to you. If you're teaching and you say, I'm not doing a good job, just keep teaching. Just keep giving good effort and keep giving all you can. And watch God do something with the gift that you are to the church. Amen. So where do we access these gifts? I'm sorry. I don't know what time I started. I meant to time this. Where do we get these gifts? We get them at the local church. Where are these gifts given to? Given to the local church. What the Bible's saying here is that we need help. And where we're going to get our help is from these gifts that God's given to us. Where are we going to access these? We're going to access these at the house of God, the local church. And here I'm not going to get into much of this, but you can't get these gifts if you're not here. My, the preaching that we get and the teaching that we get, you know, really, if you're not here, you can't get it. You can get it on the internet. There I am, I guess. But you can get it on the internet, but sadly, really, it's your loss. It's really something special about being here. It's your loss. God's wanting to give you a gift. It's from God, and He's using these gifts to feed your soul and to help you, but you can't get it unless you're here. So that's where you get it, it's a local church. Why did God give us these gifts? I already said it. We need help. God gave us these gifts so we could get help. It's not so we could get titles. It's not so we could get a position. It's not so we could brag to somebody about what we do. He gave us these gifts so we could get help. We see it in verse number 12. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. I don't mean to step on any toes or hurt anybody's feelings. What I'm looking at right here is a bunch of people who aren't perfect. Amen. That's not really an insult. If you thought you were perfect before I said that, if your feelings hurt, man, you're way off. You need help a lot more than I thought. But the reason God gave these gifts to us is because we need help. We're not perfect. But it's for the perfecting of the saints. It's for our maturation, I guess you'd say, or for completing us, for growing us spiritually. It's for our good and for our growth is what we have. Number two, we see in verse 12, it says, for the work of the ministry. It's just like our pastor. He can't do it all by himself. He needs help too. We need help. We need these missionaries to help us. We need evangelists to help. We need help. It's for the work of the ministry. We've got this great commission to be carried out, and we can go and tell. And you know, part two, if you just want to look at the teachers there of the Great Commission, part two is stabilize, evangelize, and stabilize. That happens where? Right here at the local church. It's for the work of the ministry. Discipleship, we might say. The third part, I guess, in verse number 12, it says this, for the edifying of the body of Christ. These gifts are to edify the body of Christ. You know, it ought to mean something to us just that we can say I'm part of the body of Christ. But it ought to mean so much more if you can say I'm a gift that God's given to help edify the body of Christ. Edify means to build up. To build up in knowledge and in truth. So why did God give us these gifts? He gave them to us to help us. Build us up. To perfect us. To help us grow for the work of the ministry. Also, we see in chapter 4, verse 14, why did He give us these gifts? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. You know, according to the Bible, we don't like to think this way, but according to the Bible, there are people that will dress like me and carry a Bible like me, and their goal is to deceive you. Their goal, they may not even dress exactly like me, and they may have a little different Bible. You know what their goal is? To deceive you. That's according to the Word of God. The Bible says they're seducers, and they're going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Who's doing that? Who's doing that, Brother Bud? Who's deceiving people? A lot of people are, but you know what? I'll just say this about the pastor. Thank God there's somebody watching out. Watching who comes through those doors, watching who comes behind this pulpit, watching for our souls, watching for deceivers. But there are people out to deceive you. Don't be so naive to think that we've got this thing under control and everybody's good and everybody's going to heaven. Friend, it ain't that way. The devil's got people, according to 2 Corinthians 11, false apostles. And they're deceiving people. Amen. Anyway, so Ephesians 4, it says that that we won't be children tossed to and fro, so we won't be carried about by every wind of doctrine. In my own words, it's so we'll be able to stand for truth and we'll be able to stand against error. We'll be able to stand against deceit. Ephesians 1:1, if we want to go back there, why else did he give these gifts? It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. You know what? He wants us to walk a certain way. God wants you to walk a certain way. He wants you to live a certain way. He wants you to act a certain way. Go a certain place. Dress. He's got a will for you. He's got a plan for you. He's got a path, I guess we should say, for you to walk on. And these gifts of God, or gifts from God to the church, help us know how to walk worthy. Amen. So and then we got all the who, what, when, where, all that stuff. I guess the last one I've got, or one of the last ones, is until when. I've got the when. When are these gifts going to expire? When do we no longer need these gifts, is the way I'm going to say it. Look at verse number 13. It says till, the little word till, means until we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature, to the fullness of Christ. And put this in my own words, just so it'll be real simple for you. Until you've arrived, you need these gifts. Now, if you think you've arrived, you need these gifts. What I'm saying to you is, you're going to need these gifts. You need a man of God preaching to you. You need teachers teaching to you. You need that. You need a pastor watching out for your soul. You need that. Pastors, that's why, you know what he said? I've gotten more help than anybody, he feels like. He had people coming here and preaching to him. He needed preaching. We all need it. We need each other. We need the body of Christ to be working right. So you need these gifts until you've arrived. And when you think you have arrived, you need them still. Amen. So I'm going to leave you two things. I'm going to leave you with a challenge, and then we'll close. The challenge is found in Acts chapter... I'm going to turn there. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. And the verse says that, as the Lord Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than receive. Now, I don't know where exactly he said that. I can't find that. But basically, it says that Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. So I'm going to say this. There's a lot of people in who are gifts from God. And Jesus said it's more blessed to give than receive. You're a gift from God to the saints. I'll say it this way. Give yourself. Give yourself. Give yourself. Give yourself to the local church. Give yourself to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a gift from God. Somebody says, I ain't a teacher. You might be surprised, your teachers. Who's teachers and who's not? I say, really, all of you, you may don't even understand this, but all of you are teachers to some degree, at least the ones that are old enough. You're teachers. You're teaching. You are a gift from God. And I say, give yourself. Give yourself. Give yourself. As a gift from God. I say this, be the best gift that God can help you to be. See, I'm limited. I can only do this. I'm not a good teacher. I'm not this. Be the best gift that God can help you be. Be the best preacher that God can help you be. Be the best singer that God can help you be. Because He can help you. Now I'll close with this. Brother Rain said something this morning right after Brother Lockhart got through preaching. He said he was in the bathroom during the invitation, and he asked his wife, who responded by going to the altar. She said, no one. You know what he said? We're sitting there right here. He said, I guess that's just the day we're living in. I may have misquoted. But you know what he was saying? Some of you may not have understood what he was saying. He was saying, how can that many people hear that much Bible preaching and no one need help? What he's saying is, God just gave us a gift to this church that people needed. God doesn't just give you something if you don't need it. He's not that kind of God. He gives you what you need, not really what you want. He gives you what you need and sometimes what you want. But right here this morning and right here this week, God's poured out gift upon gift through these men of God and the messages they prayed and sought His face for. And God has given these gifts. And not everybody reached out to get them. That's the truth. That's the truth. So in closing, I say we're blessed this week to hear many good, wonderful messages, gifts from God through these preachers. I ask you this, did you receive what God was trying to give you? From heaven, God sent a gift to your undeserving soul this week. Did you receive it? Did you accept it? Or did you say this? That wasn't for me. That's what we say sometimes. God speaks right to our soul. Well, that wasn't to me. Friend, it was to us. So I just want to say this. Why don't we just be honest? Why don't we just be honest with God and give you one more invitation here? If God spoke to your heart about something this week, I didn't say nothing in here really that might challenge your heart, but if God spoke to your heart this week, He gave us gift after gift after gift with these pastors, these teachers, and these evangelists. He just poured out the blessings, we might say, on this church. Now I wonder if we received them the way He intended us for us. Here's your opportunity to be honest. Miss King, Brother King, you come and you play. Pastor, you have your way here.
Well, you've heard the challenge this evening. If the Holy Spirit of God spoken to your life, let's bow our heads. I like it, just you and God on the invitation. God spoken to your heart. My brother Brian preached a good message tonight. He gave us the truth. Sure did, Brother Miller. He gave us the truth. If God spoke to your heart tonight, I wonder if you'd be man enough, woman enough, boy or girl enough to be obedient to the Spirit of God and to act on it. Brother Allen's going to sing, "You Be Obedient."